What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show again. It is Friday, February 21st, 2020. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And we've got a lot to talk about today. A lot of interesting things going on today. So feel free to give us a phone call. Mike is in our control room. He'll answer the phone, put you on there with your comments, questions, and opinions. So tearing right on into it here. Once again, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. And apparently acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire lost his shot at holding on to the post for authorizing a classified briefing in which the U.S. intelligence community claims Russia is now interfering in the 2020 election to get President Trump reelected. Here we go again. Now, remember, they were saying exactly the same thing back in 2016, and there was never any proof of it. And besides, you know, common sense, if Russia was going to interfere with our elections, wouldn't they be supporting Bernie Sanders, the communist, the socialist? Just doesn't really make any sense. But the Democrats, I think, are feeling that they are, in fact, going to lose come November. And so as a result, they're getting ready to cry, oh, the Russians stole it from us, those evil, evil Russians. Instead of whining about Russian election interference, Democrats should be searching for a winning nominee. And there is their big problem. When I was watching that debate the other night, there wasn't anybody up on that stage that I would want to vote for. There just isn't. And like I said, Trump has been a disappointment, but he still looks better at being president than any of those people up on that stage. What's that old saying? If God intended us to vote, he would have given us candidates. You know, the Democratic Party has moved so far left. I think they're alienating most Americans. They're counting on vote rigging and illegal immigrant voting to win. That's what they're counting on here. All righty. Now, Tim Scott is saying that Trump will see at least a 50% increase in African-American support, and this will carry him over to win the re-election. Trump is certainly very confident about winning here. We'll get into that a little bit later here. Elizabeth Warren is out there saying, Bloomberg is disqualified from being president, but I'll support him if he's the nominee. Trying to butter her bread on both sides, I think. And she continues to attack Michael Bloomberg, claiming that Bloomberg was disqualified from being president, while adding that she would support him if he was the party's nominee. She doesn't say why he's disqualified, but it may well be the point that Trump raised the other day. Bloomberg, in pouring almost $500 million into his own campaign, is clearly in violation of limits to campaign donations. Just because it's his own campaign, there's no exception in that law. It says you can only donate so much. There's no loophole that says unless you're paying your own way to the White House. Dick Morris is out there with a sentiment common to a lot of people right now. Bloomberg is crashing as Sanders, Warren, and Biden gain, mostly Sanders right now. Tomorrow, of course, is the Nevada caucuses, and they're not guaranteeing that we'll have results Saturday night. It may be Sunday, it may even be Monday. They're very, very concerned. They're using a new hip computerized system that works through the iPad. And they're very concerned after what happened in Iowa. All righty. A Republican member of Congress came down hard on Wednesday on Democrats who tried for months to remove President Trump from office, adding that the 2020 election represents a clear choice between socialism and freedom. And it really does seem to come down to that. All the Democrats, to one extent or another, are socialists. They want to take your money and then spend it back out on the things they think are important to the country, like transgenders and, you know, drag queen story hour and things like that, not to mention the wars here. Now, the fake news, the corporate media, ABC, CBS, are ignoring Bloomberg's gaffes. You know, all of these things that he said in the past that are surfacing here in the independent media and all over the internet. And, of course, they're going to do that because Bloomberg is spending all of this money on TV advertising and the networks, which are cash-starved and they're just strapped for money. You know, it's like manna from heaven. Oh my goodness, yes, you know, the money is pouring in. We can't say anything bad about Bloomberg. He'll take his advertising someplace else. Same mechanism why the networks never question pharmaceuticals, because of all the pharmaceutical advertising. Very, very crooked business. Okay, the Trump campaign press secretary is going after the Democrats and saying the party of Lincoln will defeat the party of Lenin. And living here in Indiana, of course, Lincoln is big stuff here. And his birthplace is nearby. I still haven't gotten over to take a look at that, but I want to. Anyway, Trump's campaign national press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, hope I got that right, told the Western Journal in an exclusive interview that President Donald Trump is prepared to litigate the case against socialism if the Democratic Party chooses Democratic Socialist candidate Bernie Sanders as its nominee. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, Bloomberg is out there. He's still having to deal with this saying any idiot can be a farmer. But if you look at all the crop failures around the world, that proves how wrong he is. And, you know, past footage has revealed his true thoughts on farmers' intelligence. But American growers' resilience and worldwide crop failures prove this city slicker has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't. You know, he's talking about the information technology jobs. Farms use a lot of information technology these days. They're using computers. They're tracking their crops. They're doing their cost and profit estimates all on computers. They use remote sensing. They use satellite imagery. So Bloomberg has really lost that voting block here. Apparently, another blast from the past that surfaced here is Mike Bloomberg ran a Stasi-style police and surveillance operation against Muslim Americans. As mayor of New York, he ran this sweeping surveillance operation against Muslims. And this week on Intercepted, as Bloomberg nears $500 million in paid ads for his presidential campaign, he is intensifying his attacks on Sanders. Meanwhile, the red-baiting smears against Sanders are resurfacing as he surges in national polls. New York University professor Nikhil Pal Singh, author of Race in America's Long War, dissects Bloomberg's record, his racial terror tactics in New York City, and what his candidate says about the state of electoral politics in the U.S. Attorney Diala Shamas of the Center for Constitutional Rights, who fought Bloomberg over his Muslim surveillance program, describes the New York Police Department's demographics unit that targeted Muslim Americans and their businesses, houses of worship, and restaurants here. All right. Back in 2014, Mike Bloomberg was asked about all of this surveillance that was going on our private phones and everything. And he said, look, if you don't want it to be in the public domain, don't take that picture. Don't write it down. In this day and age, you've got to be pretty naive to believe that the NSA isn't listening to everything and reading every email. And incidentally, given how dangerous the world is, we should hope they are, because this is really serious what's going on in the world. In other words, Bloomberg thinks everybody's phone call should be listened to. We want a guy with that belief system in the White House? I don't think so. Meanwhile, Bloomberg is anticipating it is going to come down to a contested or brokered convention. And apparently his strategy that he's working on is sort of similar to the mass email he sent out to the other debaters before the debate earlier this week, where he said, you guys should all drop out and get behind me so we can defeat Bernie Sanders, the commie Bernie Sanders. We got to get rid of him. And apparently he's going to go into the convention saying exactly the same thing. A brokered convention isn't going to pick from any of you guys, so just drop on out, throw your support and your supporters behind me, and we will defeat Bernie Sanders. That's his strategy. I don't see those other people as really eager, willing to go along with dropping out. They've come so far. They're going to fight it out to the very, very, very end. The more I hear Bloomberg, I don't like him. I don't even like looking at him. He looks like a thug. Anyway, Trump had his own comments on Bloomberg's debate showing, saying that perhaps it's the worst in the history of debates. Anyway, now Elizabeth Warren has done a flip-flop on her pledge to refuse PAC money and claims she's being held to a sexist double standard. She told reporters yesterday that because of all the men in the race refused to rely entirely on individual donors, she shouldn't be expected to either, which tells us that her campaign is running out of cash. She's going to go to the PACs. And the PACs always have strings attached to the money that they will give a candidate here. Joe Biden, at a CNN town hall event yesterday, called for banning semiotic firearms and, quote, clips that have multiple bullets in them, end quote. Now, if you think about it, any rifle that fires more than one bullet at a time has multiple bullets in it. And so what he's talking about is a ban on nearly. I don't want him in the White House either. I'm a little too old to be out there hunting or manning the battlements. We have a natural right to weapons with which to defend our homes and our families and put food on the table. That's enshrined in the Bill of Rights. Government doesn't give us that right, and therefore it doesn't have, you know, any authority to take it away. The Bill of Rights recognizes pre-existing rights. And it's basically a list of places the government may not trespass on. Right to keep and bear arms, right to privacy, right against self-incrimination, all of those things here. Now, Bolton is still out there, you know, pimping his book, if you will. And he's now admitted that based on the leaked book excerpts, testimony would have been an impeachment nothing burger. He's basically admitting at this point there is nothing in the book that would allow the House of Representatives to open new impeachment hearings, which they want to do. They lost the first one. They're going to, you know, keep on trying until they finally get through here. Okay. Now, congressional Democrats who've read a pre-release of the book are saying, oh, yes, there's stuff in here. We can impeach. Well, you know, you can impeach, but the Senate's not going to remove. Not unless there's a real crime, like treason. All righty. Well, this is apparently just breaking. Weinstein's lawyers say they would accept a partial verdict, but prosecutors said no. The jury says that they're hung on many of the counts against him. So, anyway. All righty. Chelsea Handler, who is supposedly a comedian and a Trump hater extraordinaire, basically came out and said Trump's pardons are racist. Oh, my goodness, they're racist. And, of course, we're looking at, former Governor Rod Blagojevich, Edward DeBartolo Jr., Ariel Friedler, Tenise Nichol Hall, Bernard B. Carrick, financier Michael Milken, Judith Negron, Crystal Munoz, and Angela Stanton King. And Chelsea Handler said, it's all racist. And Stanton King basically came back with a two-word message that obliterated Handler, saying, you know, I'm black. Actually, that's four words. She simply said, I'm black. Anyway, over in Arizona, Trump had a rally. Hundreds were camped out in freezing temperatures for over 24 hours to get in to see President Trump in person. And Tommy Hicks is saying, this shows Arizonans want four more years of President Trump. Really, really does. During his speech there, he was out there talking about the Democratic debates and the Democratic field. And he says, you know, I really don't care who the Democratic nominee is because we're going to win anyway. He's out there saying, we're going to keep the White House. We're going to take back the House of Representatives. And I kind of hope he's right. Because ever since 2018 in the midterms, when the Democrats won or stole the House of Representatives, the government has really been kind of paralyzed. They've really been paralyzed. Okay, now getting on here. Now, Bernie Sanders has stopped ranting about millionaires because he became one, which is a little hypocritical. So now the new benchmark is billionaires. There shouldn't be billionaires. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is out there saying she agrees there shouldn't be billionaires in a healthy society. All right, so let's get on and talk about the COVID-19 disaster. And interestingly enough, The numbers are kind of jumping all over with regard to Iran. I posted a web page that said only two people have died in Iran, including Johns Hopkins. But EU Times and other sources have come out saying that nine have died in Iran. And a lot of people are very surprised at how quickly the death rate is taking up there. Qom City is to be quarantined by the military. So this article is saying they could be almost totally infected in Iran. Two men from Qom who called the ambulance were already very sick and dying. They were taken to the hospital. The doctors couldn't do anything. And new cases are already discovered in other cities such as Arak. And they said, yeah, seven more have died, including a five-year-old girl. That is really, really a shame. Okay, COVID-19 cases have doubled overnight in South Korea to 204. Apparently, COVID-19 has an outbreak inside a Chinese prison, 500-plus people already infected. Well, you're in close confinement there in those prisons. South Korea has reported the first coronavirus death as millions are urged to stay home. Saying it looks like a zombie apocalypse. The South Korean streets are just deserted. Everybody staying home. Seemingly overnight, the public attitude toward COVID-19 in South Korea has gone from simmering apprehension to full-blown paranoia. And nowhere is that more apparent than Daegu, the country's fourth largest city. Population, 2.5 million people. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now from Steve in West Virginia. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm going to call and disagree. I want to disagree with Joe from Tennessee yesterday. I thought Bloomberg looked utterly terrible. He looked unelectable. I don't see him any – there's no contrast between him and Trump except they're both billionaires. Bloomberg doesn't identify with the people, and I think that if he was elected, we would be subjugated to a very sanitized police state type mentality. And I see there's no comparison between Trump and Bloomberg. Trump identifies with the people. He identifies with the middle class. Says things they want to hear. Bloomberg doesn't say anything the middle class wants to hear. And I don't see, I just think he looked terrible. I mean, I was really surprised. And I kind of smiled to myself and said, there ain't no way this guy's getting in. It doesn't matter how much money he puts out there. He's not going to be able to convince the Bernie people. The Bernie people are rabid, and there's no way they're... This guy's a former Republican. There's no way they're going to vote for him. It doesn't matter. Even if it's between him and Trump, I think they would just sit out. So pretty much what I wanted to say.
Okay, well, I think you're right. I tend to agree with you. Anything else?
No. The only other thing I want to say is about the Wuhan virus. I'm over on the, you know, I like to try, at this point in my life, I like to do a little European travel, and I try to go once a year, and there's a lot of people on, like, the Rick Steves Forum and Lonely Planet Forums, and they don't think there's anything to this coronavirus. I tend to disagree with them, I think you're right. I think it's going to make the travel costs come down because every year that I go to Italy and in Spain, I see progressively more Chinese tourists going to those countries. And even if they could get this coronavirus under control in China, say by summertime, their economy is still going to be devastated from you know closing up these plants and stuff. So I don't see the Chinese people traveling to Europe this time.
Yeah, they're afraid to leave their homes. All right, well, Steve, we're going to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And a reminder that Republic Broadcasting is in the middle of a fundraising drive, and the situation is, in fact, dire. So our heartfelt thanks to those who have already donated. And for those who have not yet donated, well, just shame on you for just scarfing all this truth and justice and the restoration of the Republic for absolutely free. We need you to step on in. The only time we're going to get, or the only way we're going to get the big money influence out of corporate media is for the little money to all join together and support independent media. So once again, the address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you, and I thank you as well. Let's go back to the phones to Joe in Tennessee. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, Mike, first I'd like to clarify to that previous caller that just because I think Bloomberg did well in a debate doesn't mean that I support him or I think he's as good or I like him as much as Trump. Anybody that listens to your radio show and has heard me before, I'm a big Trump fan, but I can separate my support for Trump and my political views on how somebody performs. It's the ability to, like, think outside your own political opinions. And once again, I will stand by my opinion that I thought Bloomberg did pretty well in that debate. I think he made the others. People talk about how Bloomberg didn't look so well or whatever, but I think his real genius of what he did, in my view, was showing the others as being fanatics. I mean, Bernie Sanders was pretty much spitting all over the place. Elizabeth Warren looked like a nasty school marm, you know, a dictator, you know, one of those typical, like, clipped-haired women that want to tell men what to do, you know, talking about NDAs and, you know, release the files. And she used the term, how he once called, I think it was Princess Anne, like a horse-faced lesbian. And
yes.
I thought that's, you know, and I'm looking at him like, well, good. He uses colorful language. And if you rewatch the debates and you take all the, like, hysteria from the audience and the nasty questions from the left-wing lunatic media that were asking questions, if you kind of tone that down, his responses were actually very smart, witty, and I thought, when they asked him about his money with Sanders, he says, well, how many houses do you have, you know? And I thought he had good comebacks. I just think that it's, you know, and I got to say, I listened to Michael Savage on podcast this morning, and he sounded just like I was yesterday afternoon. I mean, his opinions were just about dead on with my view, which was, you know, you put a guy in a hostile environment with a bunch of college girls from the University of Nevada there screaming and moaning, you know, like the Beatles are there when Bernie's talking, or, you know, and it was definitely all the knives were out for Bloomberg, and I thought he did well, and I thought it was to his advantage to look that way, because the Democratic Party, the mainstream media, these candidates in particular, are so outside of the mainstream that he's going to look like Trump looked in the Trump debates against the Republicans, as a populist, as somebody outside the crazed establishment of the Republic, of the Democratic Party. And also the media is probably one of the most hated institutions in the country right now. And you could see, you know, their nasty questions towards him. I think that he, in my view, I thought he won the debate. And that doesn't take away from my support for Trump in any way. It's just the way I look at it. I think that he's taking a page from Trump's playbook. And I think Trump is actually, if Trump's scared of anybody, he doesn't want to face Bloomberg. I think Bloomberg is the one candidate that can beat Trump, because he's not in a crazed lunatic socialist, or he's not one of these social justice warrior types. He doesn't have a husband, you know. I mean, there's a lot. He's got. I look at all the candidates, and as a Trump supporter, the last guy I want to see Trump go up against is Bloomberg. He's got, he's got an unlimited financial clout. He's going to have, if he does win the nomination, he's going to have the entire media with him. He wasn't a bad mayor of New York, if you ask people that lived in New York, and I have family that live up there.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, you know, you and Michael Savage are a minority opinion, because the vast majority of people were saying that Bloomberg did not do well. He was clearly unprepared. And I think there are about 5 million people in New York City who would say that Bloomberg was not a very good mayor because of the abuses of stop and frisk. So, you know, obviously among the Democrats, you favor Bloomberg, and that's okay. But again, unless you can get the majority of 330 Americans to agree with you, or however many are going to vote, because something like 90 million people never vote in this country. They're so fed up. Again, you're not going to change my opinion of Bloomberg. I think he did very, very poorly. He was clearly unprepared. And I don't want to see him the nominee, and I don't want to see him in the Oval Office.
Well, I look at it like, from what my view of his answers, and what he is kind of like the mirror tactic, in that he made the other ones show who they are. It was more about
the polls
that.
The polls disagree with you.
Well,
anyway, I'm going to have.
Come on. The polls had Hillary winning. You know,
okay.
The same polls that said
Joe,
Trump
Joe,
lost
Joe,
against
I
Hillary.
Let you
know?
Go. We got to
okay,
take a break.
Okay, but don't tell me the polls.
Even the poll that I ran, and I'm not biased, I don't rig my polls. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, and getting on back to the COVID-19 virus and all of the disruption it's causing. Apparently, the CDC has issued a warning for hospitals to be ready for a surge of COVID-19 patients in Americans. A top CDC official named Dr. Ann Shuchat is openly warning U.S. hospitals to be prepared for a wave of COVID-19 infections. Quote, a larger spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus across the U.S. could overwhelm emergency rooms and cause supply shortages of some crucial medical supplies, end quotes. And that is all the more exacerbated by the fact that China and Taiwan and Thailand are now starting to limit exports of these medical supplies that are being manufactured. So, yeah, it could. If you want a face mask, you know, you should definitely get them now, because they're going to run out at some point. Scalpers are probably already stocking up on those things. Apparently, there has now been an incident where a Chinese COVID-19 patient was reinfected just 10 days after leaving the hospital. Apparently, having this virus does not give you a natural immunity. And apparently it appears that not only can the virus remain latent for as long as 42 days, 4 weeks longer than traditionally assumed, resulting in numerous false negative cases as an infected carrier slips across borders undetected, but far more ominously, it now appears the diseases can reinfect recently cured patients, because as Taiwan News reports, a Chinese patient who just recovered from the COVID-19 virus has been infected for the second time in the province of Sichuan, according to local health officials. They don't have the real basic knowledge they need to have in order to accurately forecast what's going to go on here. They don't know the incubation time with any great deal of accuracy. Still futzing around with the R-naught factor. Thousands are urged to self-quarantine across America as statisticians warn the numbers are not adding up. They're applying normal epidemiological statistical methods to the data, and it's not adding up here. And we're seeing a second article out of Investment Watch blog saying exactly the same thing. The math does not add up. As health officials ask thousands to quarantine themselves across the United States, a respected statistician is going public with a dire claim that the COVID-19 data does not look right at all. Okay, this is coming from the New England Journal of Medicine, which is a highly respected, peer-reviewed scientific journal. The COVID-19 viral load spreads like influenza with no symptoms showing. If it is airborne like influenza, that is a bad, bad situation. Anyway, now here's an interesting story. Apparently, scientists have drawn an extract from red algae, you know, the red tide that you see out there, and it says it's a pain in the rear. It may actually have a use. They're basically using this extract from red algae. It fights Ebola, HIV, SARS, and HCV. And research has shown that a healthy, strong immune system can allow a person to not only avoid contracting Ebola, but become resistant to it as well. Now, my question obviously is, will it work against COVID-19? We've been hearing all these promises about a vaccine is available here or there or will be available soon. Still haven't actually seen one, not even sure if it would actually work. Now, I actually had a discussion with this with Dave from CrucialNonsense.com before the show began here. There's a company that's just starting up, and it's called Resting with Face, and it's basically trying to solve a problem where facial recognition is now becoming widespread, not just for police surveillance, but if you've got an iPhone 11 and you've got it set up correctly, the phone will recognize you from your face and unlock. Okay. Well, what happens if you put on a face mask to protect yourself from the COVID-19 virus? Your phone will not unlock. So what this company is getting ready to do is you will log into their website. Pardon me. You'll upload a photo of your face, and they will print the lower part of your face onto the face mask they're selling. So when you put it on, you see your face. You're still wearing a mask, you're protected from the virus, and your iPhone will unlock, and of course the police will be able to still identify you on those street cameras and whatnot here. All right, let's go to the international news, Hal. What are the odds Turkey will start a full-scale offensive against Syria in Idlib? Because tensions are boiling over between Ankara and Damascus, Turkey has vowed to take matters into its own hand and openly intervene in Syria's Idlib province, where government forces are routing the Turkish-backed militants. And Turkey's Erdogan is saying he will not withdraw from Idlib. That's a fairly straightforward declaration. And apparently, Erdogan has now launched an offensive versus the Syrian army. The Russians intervene on the opposite side. And the report that we're getting right now is that the Assad forces gave the Turkish army a whipping in eastern Idlib. Whipped them like a tired horse. Whipped them like a misbehaving dog. Okay, on February 20th, that's yesterday, the Second Army of NATO and its proxy forces once again failed to capture the village of Nayrab, eastern Idlib, from the Syrian army. The Turkish attack involved two dozens of military equipment pieces, including battle tanks and artillery, over 200 Turkish soldiers, and approximately 300 members of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, formerly the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. And they didn't do very well. First, you don't succeed, try again, then quit. No use being a darn fool about it. Okay, let's take another phone call here. Kevin in West Virginia. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, sir. I was wondering, with all of this coronavirus and everything, these viruses and everything going around, what are the chances of something, I don't know, something called maybe a BioPatriot Act could be introduced because of all of this?
Well, what would the BioPatriot Act actually accomplish?
Well, mandating vaccines, forcing a vaccine, kind of like, you know, if you have this, you have to. We're going to go ahead and quarantine you for X amount of days or whatever. I kind of, in a way, I almost think that they're going to have to roll something like that out in the future, for the future.
Well, I'm going to tell you, because of what happened back in 1976 with the swine flu vaccine, I'm not letting them stick that needle in me.
Oh, me either. Absolutely. By no means is anybody going to stick a needle in me. I would rather be dead before you stick a needle in me and die a slow death. I would rather be instantaneously. But I'm just wondering, is this what they're trying to get passed? Is something like a Patriot Act, but for vaccines? That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Is what they're getting ready to try to do, or going to possibly try to do. This is nefarious on its face, and it stinks to high heaven. Although I do think there's something huge going on with this virus, none of us have all the details or all the information to actually make a good assessment. I mean, how do you actually the numbers from China? I don't trust them. I don't trust any of the governments to give you the real numbers to say, hey, there's something really, really, you know, something really is going on. Like I said yesterday, this is hype. There's a lot of hype. But
yes.
It seems like this is real. To me, this is real. And that's why I said it stinks from all the cover-up and everything. I kind of feel like this is worse than what we're being led to believe. Or what we're being told.
It could be a lot less than what we're being told about it. Certainly the economic damage and the supply chain disruption are very, very real. There is no question that everybody is looking at this crisis, if you will, and saying, how can I use this to push my own personal agenda? Certainly for the vaccine manufacturers, pharmaceutical corporations, they're thinking exactly like you. We need mandatory vaccination law coming out of the Congress. Then you've got other people who are saying, how can I use this scare to push forward for more control over the civil population? There's going to be all kinds of things. The face mask companies are going to be using it to boost sales for the face masks. Everybody is looking at this and saying, how can I benefit from this? There's no question that's going on.
Can I get your personal opinion on it, what you think's actually going on here? I mean, I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Do you think this is a vaccine push, or do you think this is something – do you think it was an accidental release, or is this bigger than what we think, or – I'm just curious on your thoughts.
I think it's an accidental release of something that was a work in progress. I don't think it's a finished biological weapon because it's not behaving like one, but it certainly is very, very dangerous. And again, we do have that story coming out where that Wuhan BSL-4 laboratory, they were basically working with bats infected with this virus, and there was an incident where a researcher got into an altercation with one of the bats and blood was shed. By the bat, at least, and that would have been highly infectious agent. Now, this researcher went into self-quarantine for 14 days and emerged without any symptoms, but now we're hearing the incubation period could be as long as 42 days, so he could have walked out of that place, you know, and started infecting people. That might be our patient zero, that researcher. Or they could have dropped a test tube and somebody simply walked out of the building with it on the bottom of their shoes. Ultimately, I have to say, I don't really know, but that's what I think happened. And as far as the severity of the virus, it's making a lot of people sick. It's killing some, but the lethality rate is really very, very low for what is supposed to be a biological weapon.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same page with you are with your assessment. I just don't know because I don't believe any of the numbers that are being reported. Like, I don't trust the Chinese government to tell me the right numbers out of people that are dying. And then there was something else that was going on in China around that time. There was some military games going on, war games, that the United States had sent like 300 soldiers over. I forget the name of it's like the Olympics, but it's for the militaries around
yes.
the world. That would be a great cover to do something or to infect soldiers to bring them back to their possible homelands. I didn't know if you were aware that was going on around the same time as all of this supposedly kicked off. I find that strange, too. I mean, I'm not putting a lot of into it, but I just find that really, really bizarre that at the same time, these games were going on in that place, and they also had a countdown, and they were also running drills and everything, you know, about having a simulation of a some type of a virus or some type of infection going around, you know, before mm-hmm. that these games even started. And that's not the 201 event. This is something else. But I just wanted to run that by you. I didn't know if you had heard that or seen that, or if you have, you know. I just wanted to bring that to people's attention, bring it to light. But that's all I have for you, sir. I hope you have a great and wonderful day, and stay safe.
All right. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go. There are a lot of theories being thrown around. One of the theories that seems to be getting a lot of play on the independent media, and I disagree with it, is that China wants to thin out its own population and came up with this. Because so far, and please correct me if I'm wrong, provide a counterexample, but the fatalities have occurred among ethnic Chinese only. Now, other people get sick, but it doesn't seem to hit them that hard. That's one theory. Another theory is that this was intentionally done to China, not by China itself, but by some other party that wanted to basically knock China down so that they're less of a threat economically to whoever we would point the finger of guilt at. So there we are. Anyway, getting on back to the international news, Yemeni forces are saying they hit an Aramco oil facility in western Saudi Arabia, and they're claiming to have pounded the facilities belonging to Saudi Aramco, as well as strategic targets inside the kingdom's western province of Madana. Now, the spokesman for Yemeni Armed Forces, Brigadier General Yahya Sari, said in a press conference in the capital, Sana'a, that Yemeni missile operators, together with air defense units, launched an operation dubbed the Third Balance of Deterrence Operation on Friday, today, and struck energy facilities in addition to sensitive sites. They used a squadron of 12 SAMED-3, which is SAMED is the word for invincible. Invincible 3 combat drones, as well as a volley of winged and long-range ballistic missiles to strike the targets. Now, the Saudis are saying a different story, saying that they successfully intercepted the missiles fired from Yemen. Now, maybe they intercepted some of them. You would expect them to do that. But the missiles were said to have been launched from the direction of Yemen's capital and reportedly targeted an oil terminal near the city of Yanbu early on Friday morning local time. Few details about the attack have been confirmed. Meanwhile, Mike Pompeo was touring Saudi Arabia, pushing Iranian threat, Iranian threat, Iranian threat, and trying to sell them U.S. air defenses. Down in Israel, interesting little article that came out of 972mag.com. Yes, Israel wants peace after it gets rid of the Palestinians. Now, over the last week, pedestrians and drivers in Tel Aviv caught a glimpse of this billboard that had been posted across the city. And the billboard said, "Peace is only made with defeated enemies." And it showed basically Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh blindfolded and on their knees in a backdrop of destruction. This was considered so hate-filled that even the Israeli authorities said, no, this can't be left up there. And they've all been taken down. Over in Saudi Arabia, actually, this is in Yemen. The Grand Mufti is saying that Saudi Arabia sees no obstacle to granting Palestine to the Jews. Grand Mufti of Yemen and head of Yemen Scholars Association says Saudi Arabia sees no obstacle to granting the entire Palestine to Jews, describing such an approach as the principled policy of the Riyadh regime. Saudi Arabia's fundamental position is that there's no obstacle to granting Palestine to the Jews, Sheikh Shams al-Din Sharif al-Din said at a conference of Yemeni scholars entitled Rejection of Trump's Deal and the Prohibition of Normalization with the Zionist Enemy in the capital. This happened last Thursday. All right, so on his first visit to Libya, the U.S. ambassador meets only with Haftar, while ignoring Tripoli. This is hugely revealing of where Washington stands on the now nine-year-old Libya conflict, which has recently seen former CIA asset General Khalifa Haftar attempt to force the country under his control by his months-long assault on the capital of Tripoli. U.S. Ambassador to Libya Richard Norland, who had set up the embassy outside the country in neighboring Tunisia, for the first time this week visited the war-torn country, which was thrown into chaos by the 2011 U.S.-NATO intervention against Gaddafi. Remember Hillary Clinton cackling, "We came, we saw, he died, I can't do a Hillary cackle. So, apparently, Norlin met only with General Haftar, head of the Libyan Triple Army, Libyan National Army, rather, in Benghazi, and reportedly did not even visit Tripoli, which is where the official government is supposed to be sitting right now, where the installed puppet. No, I'm sorry, Tripoli is the center of the Libyan people. Anyway, we got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, a judge has now ordered the U.S. Navy to review and release documents related to the imploded USS Thresher. Now, this happened all the way back in 1963, and I had a distant cousin who was on board at the time. But basically, the USS Thresher was a new type of nuclear submarine, a new class of submarine, SSN 593, and it was basically going through qualifications, and they had surface ships monitoring it, and all of a sudden, they heard a ruckus down there, and the submarine simply vanished. And Dr. Craven, who I had the pleasure of actually working with out in Hawaii, was one of the people who went on down and first surveyed the Thresher along with the Scorpion. And then later on, Dr. Bob Ballard went down and took a look at it as well. Believe it or not, the Titanic mission was a cover for Ballard, who was in the Navy, to first of all do a much more thorough survey of the Thresher site and the Scorpion. And anyway, there's a lot of unclassified information, which, even though it's not really classified, has not been released. So on February 10th, U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden ordered the U.S. Navy to begin releasing unclassified documents on the sinking of the Thresher on April 10th, 1963, while the nuclear-powered vessel was conducting deep dive exercises. And according to the U.S. Naval Institute News, the service has been ordered to finish a review of 300 documents by April 30th and release them to the public by May 15th. Now, the prevailing theory, of course, there was always that chorus out there was saying that both the Thresher and the Scorpion were sunk by Soviet subs. But the prevailing theory for Thresher is that because they had used brazing of pipes rather than outright wells, that one of the high-pressure water lines had let go and simply soaked the power system. And because they didn't have electrical power, they couldn't heat the screens that are in the ballast tanks to allow air to come on in. Because they were frozen over, they couldn't blow their ballast tanks. That's the prevailing theory. In the case of the USS Scorpion, it is thought that they had a faulty torpedo, which just spun up, sitting basically on the rack in the forward torpedo room. And because the battery would overheat without the cooling seawater going over the outer skin of the torpedo, it basically blew up and blew the hatch off the forward torpedo room. The torpedo room flooded. Scorpion went down. So, anyway. All right, here's why Patriot missiles weren't protecting U.S. troops in Iraq and why they still aren't. Remember yesterday we talked about the story where the U.S. wanted to move a Patriot battery from Saudi Arabia to Iraq, and Baghdad is saying no. And right now they're... U.S. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff U.S. Army General Mark Milley explained the situation in response to a question from Fox News' Jennifer Griffin at a press conference on January 30th of this year. There were reports last week that the U.S. military was considering deploying Patriot systems to Iraq. There has been... Oh, there we are. We have to take a break for station identification. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443, and we will be right back.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.